After years of delay, today was day one of testimony in the trial of former Bull City Gymnastics owner accused of inappropriately touching gymnasts. We'll take you inside that courtroom.
Then, North Carolina could potentially lose 1.6 million acres of farmland by 2040. The widespread effects this could potentially have on farmers and your family.
The timeline for the heat index to reach the triple digits and the hours we're most likely to see storms.
Right now at 7, today marked day one of testimony in the trial of the former Bull City Gymnastics owner accused of inappropriately touching his students. WRAL had the only camera in the courtroom. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Stephen Manis is charged with 7 sex crimes, facing 4 counts each of indecent liberties with a minor and sexual battery. WRAL's Monica Casey takes us inside for testimony.
Stephen Manis' defense team argues hands-on coaching is part of the job in high-level gymnastics. The prosecution says he crossed the line repeatedly.
Prosecutors argue for years, former Bull City Gymnastics owner Stephen Manis normalized inappropriate touching.
The evidence will show that he escalated to touching these girls in ways that were more and more unnecessary and inappropriate.
The state's first witness described massaging by her coach that she says made her uncomfortable. She alleges Manis moved her leotard near her groin when massaging her and also touched her underneath the material. Assistant District Attorney Brooke Stone says Manis did not limit his touching to what would keep the gymnasts safe.
He pulled them into his lap. He tickled them. He held hands with them.
Manis' defense team says there was no sexual intent behind any touch.
When each practice would end, it was a habit in this gym that all the coaches would give these kids a hug. That they would say, good job.
Attorney Melissa Owen points out the victims accusing Manis in this case did not allege sexual abuse while still in the sport.
They are looking back at this with a lens of anger towards Stephen. They are looking back at this, perhaps with a lens of disappointment for gymnastics dreams that didn't end the way that they wanted them to.
In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
The 4 gymnasts in this case are now between 14 and 19 years old.
I'm Mark Boyle in the Live Center right now with some new video and information after a shooting in Cumberland County sent one adult woman to the hospital in critical condition. This is some video just in from our photographer there on the ground. Investigators say this happened off of Mammoth Drive there in Fayetteville. They were going to the house in the first place for a child custody matter. And while they were en route there, they got another call about shots being fired. And that's when they arrived a short time later to find that adult female victim with the gunshot wound taken to Cape Fear Valley Medical Center for being treatment right now. We don't know if there are any kids involved at all with that initial call being for the child custody matter. We're following this story as it develops there off of Mammoth Drive this evening.
Thanks, Mark. Let us know. More breaking news to tell you about. In the last 30 minutes, officials identifying the missing boater whose body was pulled from Falls Lake in Wake County. The victim's name, 21-year-old Raquan Massenburg. Several agencies searched for him for more than 30 hours after a boating crash over the weekend. Massenburg's body was recovered from Falls Lake Monday night.
Officials are investigating a fire at a wood processing facility in Franklin County. Crews arrived at Franklin Veneers around 4 this afternoon, and the building was already evacuated. No one was hurt. Sky 5 flew over the scene. Investigators say a duct was clogged with wood chips, and combined with the temperature and humidity, it resulted in a fire. They say right now it appears to be accidental. A man is recovering in the hospital after a shooting in Raleigh. It happened at an apartment complex on St. Giles Street around lunchtime. Police put up caution tape and placed 22 evidence markers on the ground in the parking lot. Our crew on the scene says at least a dozen of the markers appeared to be next to shell casings. Police have not released any information about a potential suspect.
So work began today to repair the crack on that beam at the roller coaster at Carowinds, cranes were set up today at the Fury 325 ride. They will hold the track in place while workers can remove that cracked beam. The new beam will be delivered tomorrow and then installed. The park says the ride will be tested in-house by a manufacturer and by a third party before it reopens. They didn't offer an estimate on how long that might take. Tonight, deputies are searching for the people accused of crashing through the front doors of a Raleigh CVS trying to steal the ATM inside. This was the scene. This is the CVS on Creedmoor Road. Around 3:30 in the morning, deputies say someone slammed a vehicle into the front of that store, shattered the glass doors. People then got out and tried to take the ATM. They were not successful. Investigators are looking for a vehicle with extensive damage as they search for the people involved.
The Wake County School Board has finished interviewing candidates for its next superintendent. A district spokeswoman did not say whether the job has been offered to any candidates, but the district is now closer to replacing Superintendent Kati Moore, who retired about 2 weeks ago. The board is not publicly identifying applicants. That's allowed under North Carolina law. The school board next meets on Tuesday. Taking a live look now at downtown Raleigh. Boy, it was a hot and sticky one, but really pleasant. I went for a nice walk this morning. It was beautiful. More intense heat is on the way, though. We're tracking the potential for both heat advisories and a chance for storms for the next several days. Meteorologist Kat Campbell watching all of this in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Kat?
Hopefully some of those showers and storms can provide heat relief. It's really going to ramp up as we get into the weekend. Tomorrow, the heat index back in the triple digits after being in the mid-90s today. But by Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that's when we could be in the dangerous territory with a heat index at or exceeding 105. And that may warrant some heat advisories this weekend. Stay tuned for updates as we get closer. We are going to see changes as high pressure slides offshore. That opens the door for not only a warming southwest wind, but a more humid flow for us. That combined with a cold front on the way to the west, that's what's going to help our storm chances ramp up this weekend. It's a 60% chance Friday and Saturday. I'll have an hour-by-hour look at the storm timing for Friday coming up.
Okay, thanks, Kat. And with temperatures expected to spike over the next few days, we wondered how Duke Energy handles the load of all of these air conditioners running to keep people cool. And with the added strain, could blackouts like what happened in December with the frigid temperatures reoccur, only this time with extreme heat? Dan, you're going in depth on that question.
Ashley, that is right. We wanted to look at this kind of more big picture. Those Christmas blackouts, those were terrible. They happened because of a lot of different things, but ultimately because Duke had nowhere else to turn for help. It's one of the reasons that some lawmakers think our state may need some competition in the energy game, pushing for a $500,000 study to look at more options, and also why big companies and industry groups have pushed for the General Assembly to do a similar study. This is a story that we published last week, and right now, as you know, as you see on your energy bill, Duke is the only energy game in town when it comes to electricity. So I've gone in depth on this before, explaining how Duke Energy is a for-profit near monopoly that's monitored by a government oversight committee. We've discussed the possibility of Duke doubling your rates while also racking up billions of dollars in annual net profits. You can find that coverage on WRAL.com. And today I talked to Professor Jordan Kern at NC State, who's an expert on energy grids and issues surrounding them. I asked him, though, if more competition in our area would make blackouts like Christmas less likely. And he made some really interesting points. First, while markets with competition that have several different companies can easily trade electricity if one company is falling short in a situation, so can Duke. They can do that too. Even with their monopoly, they have relationships with other states and other providers. And over Christmas, they tried to do that. Here's how Duke spokesperson Jeff Brooks put it.
There was no shortage of transmission pathways we could bring power in from out of state. It was simply a function that this was a storm that was impacting the entire East Coast, and there was no power to import.
So relationships, those weren't really a problem. But keep in mind, our blackouts here didn't happen only because of demand and severe weather. Duke also had equipment problems. They had software failures and poor forecasting. And Professor Kern told me that all of those things could theoretically be improved by more competition. For instance, think of it this way. If company A ruins your Christmas because they have faulty software, meanwhile your neighbor with company B is lit up like the Griswolds, you might consider switching to company B in the future. But it's not that simple. It's even more complicated than that, as you could guess. Kern also pointed out, well, the obvious. When Duke needed more power, they didn't have it and had no safety net. And the best way to have a true safety net is to build one yourself, which would mean more infrastructure and higher bills for you. You see, when you get that bill from Duke, you're not just paying for the electricity that you use, you're also paying for the infrastructure that you rely on, the plants and the lines and the workers, etc., all that stuff. And according to our expert, traditionally, competition can actually stifle a company's willingness to expand. Right now, if Duke wants to grow and the plans to grow are approved by the Oversight Committee, the cost and, more importantly, the risk falls onto you, the consumer, because you have no choice but to pay for it. But if you had a choice, the company then takes on more risk and treads a little bit more lightly when they grow, traditionally. Let me know what you think about all of this. It is a very complicated topic, but it affects all of us and our bottom line, right? The money that you spend. Send me an email to dan@wrl.com. I can get your questions answered. We can discuss topics that often go untouched by the local news. Tell me what's on your mind, and we will go in depth. Ashley?
A lot of for lawmakers to chew on. You know, as you were talking about, they're considering just exploring this topic of more competition. They all need your segment, and they need your expertise there so that they can think about that.
Yeah, well, at this point, it's only a consideration. Nothing has really moved forward.
All right. Coming up, one of our state's major economic drivers is at risk. Why more than 1 million acres of farmland could be lost, and how farmers are finding creative solutions to protect natural resources. Plus, your next trip to the Eiffel Tower will now be on a new international airline out of RDU. Details just ahead.
Back now in the WRL Live Center, some breaking news we're following for you on a flight from Asheville down to St. Pete Clearwater here in Allegiant. This Allegiant jet right near Gainesville dropped several thousand feet because of the turbulence. Take a look over here. This is some video coming in. This is the aerials there from the St. Pete Clearwater Airport. We're being told that two flight attendants were injured by the turbulence on the flight, as well as two passengers that landed a couple of hours ago. There were 179 passengers and six crew members on that flight. Clearly a very bumpy afternoon with those storms, about 10,000 to 15,000 feet drop in a very short distance over Gainesville as that flight headed south, dealing with some of those very strong and turbulent Florida afternoon storms. Back to you.
Okay, Mark, thank you. Besides Texas, North Carolina is on pace to lose more farmland development than any other state in the country by the year 2040. In fact, some put the loss at 1.6 million acres. It's a reality some farmers here have already started to feel. And now there's a push to do something about it. WRAL's Michael Grace spent the day with one farmer in Chatham County to learn more about how farms and new developments can coexist.
If one thing's certain for the future, it's change. Here in the Carolinas, we see it all the time around us. New communities, new roads, and in many instances, a new way of life. And while North Carolina's growth is a good thing, it also has the potential to be detrimental for the Tar Heel State's farmers.
For Chatham County resident Neil Lindley, three things have always been certain in life: death, taxes, and farming. The fourth-generation dairy farmer has put everything into his family's 187-acre property. But there's a growing concern that his farmland may dwindle in the future.
Dairy farmers are forced out. There's dairies all over the county and the country that beautiful farms with weeds growing up on the silos. And you know, to me, that's really sad.
The American Farmland Trust says by 2040, North Carolina could lose roughly 20% of its 8 million acres of farmland to development happening across the state.
And it's an issue that does keep me up thinking at night. If we don't have the natural resources, there's no way that we can produce the food supply that we need, not only for North Carolina, but the nation and the world.
Programs like the North Carolina Agriculture Development and Farmland Preservation Trust Fund aim to curb the issue by supporting the purchase of agriculture conservation easements. This ensures that certain farmland can't be developed, which protects one of the leading economic drivers in the Tar Heel State.
Agriculture fuels the rural economies of North Carolina. And in fact, we're the number one industry in the state, and we just surpassed $100 billion in economic activity.
Both Troxler and Lindley understand the development can't be avoided, but they hope more people will understand the significance of farmland in the years to come, whether it's food supply, economic growth, or the upholding of generations of tradition. Every acre makes a difference.
To be here for so many years, I definitely want to pass that on.
Obviously, farmland preservation, a topic on a lot of people's minds as the state continues to develop. In fact, here in Chatham County, they're now hiring a new position known as the Farmland Preservation Coordinator. The hope is that this is just another step to help maintain more family farms and forests in the area. In Chatham County, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
And just a little more on that, if you're interested in helping make a difference in farmland preservation, the position that Michael just mentioned, it's still available. You can head over to the Chatham County website for more information on how to apply.
Air France is adding the latest airline to add a RDU lineup. The airline will have direct flights to Paris starting in October. It's part of a partnership with Delta Airlines, which currently flies the route. A spokesperson for the airport says this new addition is just another sign of the growth happening at RDU.
It gives people new options, not just in terms of where they can fly nonstop, but in terms of how many airlines are flying. And of course, that's great for giving people more options as they're planning those summer getaways or even starting to plan trips later this year.
2019 was a record-setting year for RDU, with 14.2 million passengers passing through the airport there. 2023 is on pace to beat that record.
A beautiful day today. We've got extreme heat and some serious storms that Kat Campbell is keeping an eye on. Kat?
The weekend, unfortunately, is going to be the more active weather time. If only we could get this drier weather during the weekend. But you've got a 60% chance of storms Friday and Saturday, 40% on Sunday. The reason why we have higher storm chances Friday and Saturday, not only do we have more moisture, we've got a front to help trigger those storms, and they're just going to be more widespread on radar, and that's why the storm chances are higher. Otherwise, it's hot, it's humid, high temperatures in the low to mid 90s each day. Outside today, we had a few spotty showers pop up around Wayne County. That was it. That's why we had the 20% chance of rain in the forecast today. Things are quiet elsewhere, but we have that small chance for rain again throughout the day tomorrow. It's a 20% chance pretty much all day long, up until sunset. That's when we could see this line of storms off to the west try to push into our area. Some models showing it fizzling out, but others keeping it around. And with that energy around, we'll go for a 30% chance tomorrow night. The better chance, as I mentioned, comes on Friday. We see the upper level energy and the front move closer, and that may spark some of these showers and storms a little earlier in the day than we would typically see them. Most models are showing showers and storms already here by lunchtime. Our in-house model in particular showing them even late in the morning. So just a heads up, it may be a little earlier than we would typically see on a hot summer day. We'll keep in the chance for these storms during the afternoon and evening. And although we are not currently under a level one or two threat or anything like that, I wouldn't be surprised if we were added to one. With all the hot, humid air in place, the atmosphere should be pretty energized. And I would think that these storms have a chance to become organized with that front nearby. In Lake Gaston, it is a gorgeous evening outside. Absolutely stunning. You can see the sun in the distance, the nice calm waves. The International Space Station pass is 10:34 p.m. tonight. It's going to be moving from the west to the north northeast, visible for 5 minutes. Our temperatures outside: 86 in Roxborough, 90 in the Triangle, 91 in Fayetteville, 90 in Rocky Mount. The dew points really vary depending on where you are, but the more humid air started to push into the area today, especially toward the coastal plain. So you'll notice it keeps going up in the coming days. Tonight, our low temperatures in the low to mid 70s for most. We could fall into the upper 60s though in Roxborough. And tomorrow, not only is it going to be hotter, but more humid. High temperatures climb into the mid-90s tomorrow. The heat index likely to exceed 100. Friday and Saturday, even though the temperatures go down, the humidity goes up even more. And that's why the heat index just keeps going up with all that moisture in place. We'll be tracking some storms, so the storms could help to provide some relief from the heat. And as we get in more high high-resolution model data for the weekend. We'll have a better idea of whether or not we'll be able to dodge some of the biggest heat thanks to the rain. But early next week, no relief in sight. In fact, it may only get hotter. 96 degrees is our forecast next Monday.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. Kat. Thanks. It's going to be a hot one.
I know. So it's been a year now since we started receiving the incredible images from the most powerful telescope ever sent to space. And did you know the James Webb Telescope has ties to North Carolina? The new image released on the big anniversary.
The next Mega Millions drawing will be worth more than $500 million.
Is that enough, you think? $500 million? The jackpot growing to $560 million because, again, no one took home the jackpot in last night's drawing. You want to check your ticket, though. You might have won a smaller prize. Four tickets in North Carolina are worth $10,000 for matching four numbers and the Mega Ball. The winning numbers, again, 10, 17, 33, 51, and 64 with the Mega Ball number as 5. They're on your screen now. The next drawing is Friday night. You also have another opportunity to become a multimillionaire tonight.
Yeah, as if that earlier number wasn't big enough, the Powerball jackpot has climbed again to an estimated $750 million. It's now the sixth largest in the game's history. You can watch the drawing live tonight right here on WRAL just before 11 o'clock news.
Good luck.
Taking a live look now at Dick's Park, where the sunflowers are officially blooming. The park posted this picture on Twitter today. Yeah, they are beautiful. The field is only about 10% in bloom, though, so you have some time to check them out. You can visit for free 7 days a week from dawn until dusk. Food trucks will be on site each Friday and Saturday during peak bloom starting this weekend. And please do share your sunflower photos with us. Go to WRAL.com, search sunflowers, or you can email us at reportit@WRAL.com. Head to our website for that email address as well. Hey, NASA just released a new stunning image from the James Webb Space Telescope.
These are all so amazing. Take a look at this one. It shows the birth of a star like it's never been seen before, 390 light years away, which is difficult to even wrap your head around. It is the closest star-forming region to Earth. The image comes 1 year since the most powerful space telescope ever began capturing those pictures that we've been showing you of the universe. By the way, the telescope is named after Granville native James Webb, who was the former head of NASA. But I can look at those pictures all day long.
Oh, yeah. That looks like some, I don't know, like your screensaver on your computer, right?
Almost like it's not real. Thanks for joining us here on WRAL News.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.